This week, I'm going to give you even more amazing stuff that I wish I'd known at 43 that I now know and practice every single day at 53. And these Chinese exercises are all over TikTok and Instagram and Facebook like never before. And I'm thinking, gosh, those are things I was doing like decades ago. Once you draw these habits into your daily life, they're very, very easy, and then you can't live without them. If you're suffering from fatigue, stress, you're confused by all the wellness trends, and you're not really now sure what you're supposed to eat or what indeed you're supposed to do to make yourself feel better, then here's my book, Yang Sheng. This was an award-winning, best-selling book that actually made its way into 7 different languages when it was launched, and it is the perfect companion to this podcast. So if you're interested in buying a copy of this book, click on the link below and it will send you straight through to purchase. So welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And this week we are going back to where we left off last week, which is the things I wish I'd known at 43 that I now know at 53, which means I look better and feel better 10 years later. Now, there's so much incredible content that I have learnt and that I now do that what we decided was that we need to actually drop this into 2 episodes because there's that much good stuff. But let's just start where we left off. So the first thing that you need to remember is the 3 simple non-negotiable things that you must do every day to look and feel better as you get older. Number 1, you need to schedule your self-care. Me first, okay? Not you last. Okay, so what you need to do is get your diary out, make sure you have diaried in your bedtime, your wake time, your food time, and ideally a little rest mid-morning and mid-afternoon. Now, I know that some of you are sitting there thinking, I literally can't do that. And that shows how much it's needed. So the first thing to do is start with that, aim for that, at least get your bedtime put in, and at least get your wake time put in, and at least get your lunchtime put in. Just do that and then build up to actually having yourself scheduled into your diary first, and then everything else piles in around it, not the other way around. Because then what often I find in clinic is that people are skipping meals or they're eating at random times, and then the body, above all, needs to be regulated. It needs to be regular, okay? Now, the next thing, getting into morning light. It is really, really important to make sure that you are up in that early morning light, ideally walking in it and under it. Okay. Now, it's not always possible. So if nothing else, open a window and sit by a window or dance by a window or just be by the window. But you need to ideally move the body in that morning light. It will make a massive difference to your energy for the rest of the day. If you harness that rising yang energy on waking, which is also waking up in the outside world, you will feel better. And last but by no means least, I really focus on my breath. I have an app which gives me a chime every 15 minutes to remind me to breathe gently in, linger at the top of the breath, breathe slowly out, linger at the bottom of the breath. And that will massively implement my circulation, purge and nourish, and strengthen the 5 key organs. And you're not doing anything. You don't need to make a fuss about it. You don't need to sit here like this. You don't need to do the hand gestures. You just simply breathe gently in, linger, breathe gently out, linger, and it will really offset the stress response and it will calm the body systems down. Now, that's where we left off last week. So this week, I'm going to give you even more amazing stuff that I wish I'd known at 43 that I now know and practice every single day at 53. So another real non-negotiable is 10:30 bedtime. Okay. And the expression bedtime, it's my bedtime. We have a bedtime, right? Oh, it's my bedtime. Right. And I say that now to my children. Oh, it's mommy's bedtime. We need to go to bed. But funnily enough, as grown-ups, many of us children have bedtimes. But as grown-ups, many of us don't have bedtimes. Often our bedtime is when we finally finish everything we've got to do and then we go to bed, right? It's not your bedtime though, is it? You're just going to bed because you finished. Get your bedtime reinstated, okay, just like children. And bedtime has to be 10:30. In the winter, it needs to be even earlier. The most important thing, winter to summer, is that you need more sleep in the winter, less sleep in the summer. But in the summer, you need a rest between 11 and 1 p.m., okay? But that's lucky because that sort of coincides with lunchtime, so that kind of works. But in the wintertime, you need more sleep. But it doesn't matter any point in time in the year, you need to be in bed at 10:30. Why? Because the gallbladder time comes in at 11 and the body needs to be in deep sleep for the gallbladder time. All to do with the sleep process and the body's ability to navigate and process all of the energy of the day and to get you into deep sleep at the most yin time of day. And the most yin time of day is 11 to 1, just like the most yang time of day is 11 to 1 p.m. Okay, so it's the opposite. And it's really important to do it. Most people don't. Most people I know do not go to bed at 10:30 and they are not asleep at 11. Okay, so the bottom line is no screens after 9. They're so bad for you. Why? Because the liver opens to your eyes and your liver is not used to this vast array of virtual reality hurling at it at a rate of knots as we're scrolling and leaping between one thing and another. Never mind the kind of light that this phone is emitting, which is really bad for your eyes as well. So never mind that scientific bit, which Liz and I talk at length about in her podcast. From a Chinese perspective, the liver opens to your eyes. And what the liver wants to be doing at that, it what I call autumn, because all the four seasons are in a day, okay? And sleep is winter, okay? And you can't just jump from summer to winter any more than we do with the weather, okay? You need autumn in the middle. And autumn is your downtime in the evening where you transition from the daytime summer to nighttime winter, okay? And if you're scrolling through your phone and then you switch your phone off and then turn your light out and go, right, I'm going to go for sleep now. Your body's like, oh, I'm not. It needs that time, okay? And take the phone away, okay? And go back to the really like lovely old-fashioned analog things that we used to do in the olden days, like read a book or journal, or even watching TV, to be honest with you, is actually preferable because at least the screen is further away and you're actually concentrating on a box set or a film, as opposed to this very, very tight shortwave content, which is being bombarded where you're jumping, and your liver's going, whoop, 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 and your whole body's like a snow globe again, going, it literally doesn't know whether it's coming or going. And then you expect it to sleep. We need to kind of reduce things down. The best thing to do in the evening, once you've done the 7 to 9 p.m. hangout with friends, tell stories and nurture yourself sitting around a fire, which is what we used to do in the olden days. Now it's from 9 until 10, read, and then do your ablutions and get yourself into bed, okay? By the time you've gone upstairs into your bathroom and then adopted all of the Heyu method practices, which I talked about, foot bathing and gua sha and body tapping and the healing sounds and taking off your makeup and doing your face gua sha and combing your hair and combing your head and your scalp and massaging your feet with magnesium. By the time you've done all of that, that's half an hour. But it's the really, really good half an hour because it's preparation for sleep. And then it's bedtime at 10:30. And what you will find with bedtime at 10:30 is you go into deep sleep by 11. And guess what? You feel amazing the next day. You get up ready to start the day early, out in the morning light you go, and immediately your body is regular. If you've had your fiber the day before, your bowel movement kicks in straight first thing in the morning, which is what it's supposed to do. Really, in an ideal world, by the way, folks, your bowel movement, again, I knew this at 43, but I wasn't, my fiber diet wasn't high enough. I wasn't eating the better quality breads. I was eating good bread, but it was sourdough, not the really heavy kind of Germanic seedy kind of breads that you get, those ones, which are so much higher in fiber. And in an ideal world, from a Chinese medicine perspective, what you should do is wake up in the morning, get up, move around, go to the loo. Okay, that's what should happen. And if you get up and go outside and go for a walk, that is, and have your high fiber the day before, that is the most likely thing that's going to happen. And you start to notice that it happens at the same time every day. But the pivot is your bedtime. It's what you do the night before that impacts the next day. Okay, so the day before is impacting what happens the day after. Eating the right fiber that day, getting yourself to bed on time, having a good night's sleep means you will wake up feeling refreshed. You will be in the mood to go outside. You will get yourself outside. You will start moving the body. Your body will want to release everything that it wants to get rid of so that it's ready to start the day fresh. Okay, circulation, purge and nourish, strengthening the five key organs, rooting yourself in the rhythm of the day that aligns to the rhythm of nature and the rhythm of the outside world. A couple of other things which I did know when I was 42, but I've now kind of proven after 10 years of doing it religiously every single day, has without question made a massive difference to my health. And that is stretching. Stretching is so good for you, and not many people seem to do it. Now, the reason how this all came about was because I'd been doing my early Qigong movements every single morning anyway, and I was doing them for years. I mean, basically, I started learning Qigong when I was studying Chinese medicine. And before that, I've been doing yoga. So I've sort of been stretching my body ever since I was in my like early 20s, really. And even then, I was in the gym before that. So, but without fail, religiously, every single morning, I do my morning Qigong. Okay, that is when I come back from my walk. So I go for my walk first thing, get myself out in the morning light, come back. In an ideal world, you do Qigong outside, but I can't because I've got the dog and it's not really practical. So I come back and do it when I come in. And those morning stretches, which we have done for you, we put a lot of them up onto our Facebook group, and we're going to do a little link below because I I'm constantly refreshing them. But I started to teach them every morning in lockdown as well for, you know, the whole community for many, many years. And those morning stretches make a massive difference to my body. My boobs are perkier now than they were in my early 40s, which is like quite weird because normally you'd think they'd start getting saggy and baggy by this age. But because of those stretches, everything stays up and in place. The spleen loves it. The liver loves it. You're circulating the energy. You're encouraging purge and nourish, and you're strengthening the five key organs with those morning stretches. So they are really simple. And one thing that I've noticed is the world is cottoning onto that. And these Chinese exercises are all over TikTok and Instagram and Facebook like never before. And I'm thinking, gosh, those are things I was doing like decades ago. And I swear by them because I do them religiously every single day. They are not a fad. They're brilliant. If you follow the sequence that I teach, they are my favorites. They are the ones that I do religiously come what may every single morning, no matter what. And they make a massive difference to my health. A couple of other things. James touched on it. Cold showers. Now, I persuaded James into the cold showers. We're broadcasting this in the height of summer. It's a bit of a heat wave going on right now. If ever there was a time to embrace cold showers, now is the time because it's boiling hot outside and it's going to feel really rather nice. The key thing to cold showers is not jumping straight into like Wim Hof-esque stuff. There's been a lot of people have actually died this country jumping into cold water because they think it's good for them. Okay. The most important thing is, a lot of the time what happens is to get the cut through, either with TV producers or on social media, you have to show something extreme in order for people to sort of pay attention to what you're doing. And unfortunately, Chinese medicine doesn't like that. Chinese medicine likes slow shifts. And so when I'm talking cold showers, I do not mean jump into an ice bath straight away. Okay. I worked up into cold showers for weeks and weeks and weeks until eventually my body slowly adjusted. So the key to this is start with your normal shower, which is probably warm, okay? And at this time of year, it's probably cool because warm showers right now feel a bit overwhelming. So I've noticed in my bathroom because of the kids, the shower gauge is lower than it normally would be because everyone's just taken the temperature off. So now what you do is you just go a bit cooler. Okay, so you're just adjusting the temperature a little bit cooler. Okay, just a little bit. And then just put your limbs in to start with because there's different areas of the body that feel the cold differently. So just kind of do the hokey cokey in the shower. Do the leg, do the arm, do the other leg, the other arm. And gently, gently, gently build up to the real cold spots, which are the back, the upper back, and the head. Okay, these are the really key areas where you really will feel the cold. So just adjust it slowly but surely. And then what you'll find is when you adjust it back to the original warm or hot temperature, it feels absolutely amazing. And you work up to it slowly but surely. I mean, I can very easily do a 20-minute ice bath, no problem. But that's because I've been building up to it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I've been then doing it for year after year after year. So my body is used to it and it knows what it's doing. But I personally will say that my cold shower, which I will do every morning, never gets any easier. To me, it every day, I have to make myself do it. I've come on, Katie, come on, Katie, come on, Katie. And if I'm really, really resistant to it, then I build up to it. I will go cooler, even cooler, even cooler, cold. Okay, so I'm going forwards and back, forwards and back, forwards and back. Okay. And if I really don't want to do it, I don't do it. Okay, but I pretty much do. So cold showers is key. What are the advanced things that I do now, which I wish I'd done then, which are, to be honest with you, kind of religious? I mean, I do them absolutely every single day without fail, and I don't miss them. It's a bit like brushing your teeth. I mean, I don't miss that either, or taking off your makeup. I don't miss that. Foot bathing. I foot bathe every single night before bed, and I do the healing sounds with it, okay? Now, if you want the shortcut, sometimes when it's really late or I'm traveling and I'm really tired and I just want to get into bed, I'd literally just stick my feet under the tap because I'm pretty agile, so I can just get my foot up there and I just wash my feet under the tap. That's my quick. And when I'm doing it, I'm going like that. And it literally, it's a 30-second practice per foot and that's the lot. But if I'm really doing it properly, which is almost every single day, I mean, my feet will go underwater every day without fail, is foot bathing. I have a little foot bath. It was cheap as chips. I absolutely love it. And I've got the most amazing foot salts. In fact, I'm actually developing a foot salt product because there's not a good enough one on the market. So I'm on that at the moment. Foot bathing is something I do religiously. Qigong, I do religiously, as I've said. Daily gua sha on my face and on my body, and the body sculptor all over my body, religiously. And face brushing, religiously. The face brush is amazing. It lives by the side of my bed. I have one in my handbag. I have it everywhere. It's amazing. I tap the body every day without fail. I work with Chinese cosmology every single day without fail. So I know exactly where the moon cycle is. I know exactly where the sun position is. I know what's going on in terms of what the day is bringing me. And I make sure that that relates into my Bar Z chart. So I know what I'm expecting and I know what I can lean into at that time of day. And then another thing that I absolutely do is that I've healed my home. So I met Kimberly Gallagher through this podcast a couple of years ago, and she really introduced me into a much deeper level of feng shui. I mean, I had a fairly broad brush knowledge of feng shui anyway, but I'd really been focusing on body health, to be honest. And Kimberly came into my life when I felt like I'd got the own your health mandate of the circulation, purge and nourish, strengthen the five key organs. It had taken me years to kind of get that piece of information absolutely distilled and systemized for you, okay, and unlocked. And then in came Kimberly, and she started talking about feng shui for the home in a very similar way. And I love her content. She's gone on to teach many people in my community I know who are also then feng shui practitioners as well, such as Antonia, for example, who has actually done the feng shui on this house. And I really make sure that the feng shui of my home is done every single year. Antonia does the full remedies for me. And then I've gone on to study a lot of it myself. And there's all sorts of things that I will do. So, for example, right now I have lemons in the room absorbing the negative energy. I blow cinnamon through my front door. I will dust the front door. I will make sure that I've got the remedies in place and that I change them every single year, that I use downlighting, I light candles in the right place. So these are very simple things. And I promise you, if you look after your home will look after you. And your home is a very, very important place because you heal in your home. So your body is in your home. So it's very, very important to make sure that you're incorporating feng shui into your home. Those are the key things that I wish I'd known of 43 instead of 53, but they are important things. Almost everything I've talked to you about today is free. It's all simple. There's a lot of it. But what I can tell you, having been practicing this stuff now for over a decade, is once you draw these habits into your daily life, they're very, very easy. And then you can't live without them. I mean, I actively could not have ice in a drink. It would literally make me feel sick. I can't not eat seasonal food. I can't not drink the correct drink for the season. I can't not walk first thing in the morning. I get tired if on the rare occasion I go to bed after my bedtime and I feel cranky the next day. I mean, these things make a massive difference to how you feel. And don't underestimate them just because they're free and relatively simple to actually draw in. Don't overlook them and think, oh, that's just nothing. That's just my bedtime. It's like, no. These things are sacred. Okay, they are part of your everyday routine, which is what makes you a human being. And aligning ourselves into the humanness of who we are right now is even more paramount as we sit here in the second quarter of the 21st century, which is advancing at a crazy rate of knots. And it's getting less and less human as we go through. So it is important for us to maintain our human integrity and cherish it and nurture it every step of the way. So thank you so much for joining me today. Do please message in with what you wish you'd known 10 years ago, and we can accommodate that into a further episode. Thanks for joining.